Have your Bible, go ahead and grab it. And if you have a phone, go ahead and grab it because there's a Bible on there. And we're going to be in John. That's right, the Bible, two chunks. Old Testament makes up about two-thirds of it. New Testament makes up about one-third of it. We're in the New Testament chunk of John. It should show up on the screen there. We're in John 1. And I'm using a paper Bible so I can slow down and get... I don't want to go too fast. I actually want people to read along with me. And it takes me a while to get there. And so it might take you a while to get there, and that's okay. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, let me know. We'll get you one. We're in 1 John. This is our text this morning. This is actually, we're in the season of Epiphany. That's the time where we recognize the wise men came. We recognize that God is for outsiders, not just for insiders, that it's not this special, you're an insider, but that God came for the outsiders, which is good news because I'm an outsider. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. So, like, it's good news for me. And Epiphany also, right? Epiphany means you're going to have some epiphanies, and hopefully you have those this morning. First John. I'm sorry, John. Nope. Go back. John 1, 43. There we go. And we're going to read through 51. So the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see even greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened up and the angel of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Come on. So that's the text. Just take a second. Anything jumped out to you, go ahead and highlight it, underline it. Meditate on that throughout this week. So let me tell you what jumped out to me. Let's go ahead and hit this. Click. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Man, what's God saying to you? James 1:22, you've heard me preach on this about a dozen million times. James 1:22 says, "Don't just hear what the word of God says, do it." But we got a problem. We're not hearing what the word of God says. Like we used to say that every Sunday, and I had people say, "Henry, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." And then I went on sabbatical. And one of the things I realized is that Christians, and I know I'm going to get talked to about this, so go ahead and like shake your fist at me now. Just get it out of the way. Christians, we got a problem. What the Pew study tells us, that's the big diagnostic study that they go in and they ask people questions. And it's a self-report study. And what we know about self-report studies is that people lie, right? If somebody asks you, "How much do you work out?"
on an average week, you're not going to tell them how much you work out on your average week. You're going to tell them your best week of the last year, right? When the doctor says, "So how clean do you eat?" You're going to ignore the McDonald's and tell them about the salad, right? We lie on self-report studies. We know that as people, they take that into account, and anybody that reads them. When they ask people, you know, how much do you read your Bible? Churchgoers, if you go to church every week, how much do you read your Bible? People don't. Statistically, people don't open up your Bibles. And I said, I was in a conversation with somebody, and they said, hey, you got to start putting the words up on the screen so that people can follow along on their Bibles. And I said, no, that's why we tell people to open their Bibles. People have phones. People have Bibles. You know, and the person said to me, no, people don't do it. People don't open their Bibles. I'm like, no, you're wrong. Single digits. Single digits. Your average person at Promise, in a service, we have less than 10 people opening their Bibles. Now, I get it. So, some of you, it's hard to follow along. I don't give you enough time. But I got the question, you know, soul search. How much are you opening your Bible? How much are you reading it? Are you in it on a daily basis? Because here's what I know. So if sabbatical taught me one thing, it was that I was force-fed a lie my entire life that it's not about the quantity of time, it's about the quality of time. Anybody else ever heard that one? Well, yeah, quality matters, but man, it's quantity. Seeing my wife every day changed our marriage. And some of you are looking at, what do you mean, seeing your wife? You know, my schedule for so long is I'd be out of the house before she was up, and I'd be home after she was asleep. And that may go on 2-3 days. I may only see her, you know, we'd text, but we were ships passing in the night. Man, I'm going to get some angry emails on that one, too. But man, when I see her, when I spend time with her, I know what she needs. And she knows what I need, and our marriage is better in church. I am convinced that when we spend time with God and we hear his word, it is a game changer. If you want to change your life, open up the Bible. Just read. I know it's hard to read. There's all kinds of... Just start. Just start reading. Start in one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. One of the stories about Jesus. One of the narratives about Jesus. Because this stuff is so real, it's going to cut you to your quick. See, what happened here is Philip heard from Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God's word. See, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Because see, when God talks to you, this is what happens time after time. Go ahead and click. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." See, when we interact with God, when we interact with God's word, it changes everybody, and we can't shut up about it. Who's your Nathanael? If you're a fill-in-the-blanker, that's the question. Who's your who? Who's your who? Who's your Nathanael? Who's that person? I get it. We got to guard our hearts. We have all kinds of places where if you talk about Jesus, you're going to get junk and people are going to argue. But who's your who? Who's your Nathanael? Who's the person that you run to when God's doing something in your life and you tell him instantly? Who is that person? Man, I can't tell you how awesome it was. I'm thinking through my sermon. I walk up on stage, and not only is Ryan a elder here and an amazing guitar player, but he's become a dear friend. And I walk up on stage, and the first thing Ryan tells me is, he's like, "Man, here's what God's word was saying to me this morning." We talk about other stuff too. Don't get me wrong. We talk, man. You get me and him in the kitchen, and I'm looking at door. You know, we talk about other stuff too, don't we? Yeah, but man, who's your who? And my question is, do you talk about Jesus? If you don't, Why don't you talk about Jesus? Why don't you talk about Jesus? Why don't you talk about what Jesus is calling you to do? Why don't you talk about what Jesus is putting on your heart? Why don't you let Jesus give you a bigger vision for what's going on? Man, since I've been back, I have had more conversations, and I'm convinced that in America right now, we've put more faith in the president, regardless of your political party, than we have Jesus. This president's going to curse us. This president's going to deliver us. Insert your own political party and the one you like and hate there. But man, no, they won't. I don't usually get political. But one thing I will say for sure is we have elected another sinful man who's going to fail us, who's not going to deliver on every promise, who's going to fall short in many ways. You've called two sinful pastors who are going to fall short, who are going to mess up, who are going to let you down in many ways. If you put your faith of promise in me or Scott, oh, this church is in bad shape. But when we trust Jesus and what Jesus is doing and where Jesus' word is guiding us, man, he's the one that walked on water. The question is, you know, just gut check. How much time are you spending talking about Jesus? How much time are you spending talking about God's word? Because Philip instantly interacts with Jesus and runs off and tells Nathaniel. Go ahead and click. Let's see what's next. And Nathaniel, I love it. Nathaniel received him warmly and said, I too will follow Jesus. No, Nathaniel goes, bro. And I'm sorry, that's from the Greek. You may have missed that. Nathaniel said to him, bro, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I know that town. I know the people there. I know how they interact. They're not one of us. When those guys come to town, they're weird. And what did Philip say? Philip says, and underline this. This is why it's so important you have your Bible. Underline. Philip says, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Go ahead and click. See, I was raised with this wrong thing, and I get it. We should be able to do apologetics. We should be able to argue our faith. But I was raised with this lie, and I didn't realize it was a lie, that Christianity is about an intellectual belief, and my job is to argue with you until you believe what I believe. Anybody else kind of come up that way? Evangelism is scary because I'm not as good of an arguer as you. I know when I was courting Trish, that's what I did. I liked her, and so I argued with her until she liked me back. That one I might only be half joking. But man, how often, anybody like debates? I mean, let's get honest, sometimes I do. Sometimes it's just fun to argue. But man, yeah, I'm with you. Sometimes it's just fun to argue. But see, Scripture doesn't really show us that we argue people into our faith. Now see, Scripture, Psalm 34, verse 8, puts it this way. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Philip says, come and see. Man, just experience it. Just taste what God is doing. Taste is such an interesting sense there, right? Anybody got that friend? That when they taste something, they share it with you. Like, my favorite is when they're like, ah, this ice cream cone, I think the milk went sour before they made it. Taste. Right? Oh, see, one of the problems is we're not spending time in God's word, and we're not stepping out in faith into what God's calling us to do, so there's nothing to tell people to taste and see, so we argue. But man, as I've sat down with people and they're telling me what God's calling them to do, they went out and they stepped out in faith and they saw God. They tell this story and it's just like, come with me. Last week I got to sit in We Worship, and man, can I just say taste and see? Taste and see what they were doing in there. Man, they're teaching kids to read. They're asking kids about Jesus. They're challenging kids to remember their identity in baptism. It was, and I could tell you all about it, but man, if there was a way that we could just go in there and watch, taste and see. That's what Philip does. He says, taste and see. Click. And Jesus, check this. Oh, this is where it gets so juicy. I hope you're following along. Let me check my time. Oh, good. I got plenty of time. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? Let that sink in. How do you know me? Who knows you? Best tweet I saw so far. I know everybody's got views on masks and blah, blah, blah. Best tweet I've seen so far from a pastor mentor of mine. They said, I don't see why people are complaining about wearing masks in church. They've done it for years. What's your mask? What's that thing that you don't want anybody to see how you really are? Right? It's easy to put on a good front for 1 hour. It's harder for me and Scott. We got to be here for two. You know, how easy, what's your blank? I'm a nice guy. Muhammad Ali said, if somebody's nice to me, but they're not what nice to the waiter, they're not a nice person. How many of us, when we're honest, we ain't nice people? But I don't want to let you see that. You know, what's going on in this interaction? And then it goes, how do you know me? And see, this is the game changer. Go ahead and click. Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael's response is, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Okay, kind of weird interaction, right? Like, let's just own the weird. Until you go to South Africa. Here's the phrase in South Africa. The greeting. See, in America, we're taught to wear masks. Right, our greeting is, how are you? And your answer is, fine or great. Those are the two options. See, in Zulu, the opening line is, Swabana. Swabana. I see you. I see you. I see who you are. I see the gifts that God has already put in you. I see that you've fallen short, but I still love you and respect the person that God has made you to be. Swabana, I see you. Swabana, I see you. Man, how many of us, we just need to stop and go, I see you. How many parents out there, your kid is longing for you to just say, Swabana, I see you. How many behavior problems somebody's acting out, whether it's in at home or in the workplace, because they're just longing to be seen. Man, you want to change the game? It's Swabana. I see you. Because we long to be seen. And here's the gospel. God sees you. God sees you exactly where you are. Not only does God see you, but he sees your hurt. He sees your pain. He sees your suffering. He sees your strength. He sees the things that he knit together in you when you were still in your mama's womb. He sees you. He sees your calling, what he's called you to do, the path he's set out before you. He sees you. God loves you. God affirms you. God sees the mire that you're into, but calls you into something better. See, when you say Swabano in South Africa, the response is, here I am. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. I listened to the audio like 53 times, and I will. Here I am. Because see, we get it messed up. We think the louder we pound our chests, the more we achieve, the better we do, we will be seen. But the fact of the matter is, until we are seen, we don't exist. But God sees you. God sees you. God sees exactly where you are. And maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's why the vast majority of Christians don't open their Bible. Because when we open our Bible, we see that we are seen. So much of Christianity is, we talk all the time about having faith in God. But see, when we open the Bible, we see that God has faith in us. That God acted first. That God sees you and calls you and renews you. See, we baptize babies around here unapologetically. And they come to this water having done nothing to earn God's love or affection. Having done nothing to be part of the family. In baptism, we say, Swabano, I see you. And I wash you clean. And I give you a new identity in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go out today and know that. Know that you are seen. Know that God adores you exactly where you are. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for seeing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for guiding us. Let us hear your word this morning. Amen.